The following preview is of a graphic audio production rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Deunero.
Yes, Deunero. Master Deunero.
You are discredited. The church has seen the truth.
Your truth.
All the world knows the truth of Avalyn now, and of Giuseppine, who is queen.
All the world believes the lies, but I will teach them the truth. Yes, I shall. Donovan Dyer! Elbrion, Nightbird, Father, I would do battle with you. Come forth and face me.
I have just come from Abbot Owan. And from the kitchens of Castle Ursel before that. Was it not enough for you to keep me barren? Did you have to go after my very life in addition?
You have been poisoning my food!
You speak nonsense! You do not know!
I know! And so also will King Danube, unless...
Unless?
Unless Constance Pimplebury takes her leave of Castle Ursel.
My king! Do you wish to take part in our games?
I do, my king!
And what is your name and title?
I am Tyme Aquilic of Hunt the Bear.
I have murdered! The queen has slain me!
This is insanity!
Don't miss the shocking conclusion of the Demon Wars Saga Book 5, Ascendance, Part 2. Available now. In graphic audio.
The maelstrom has begun.
And now, for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Elmer Kelton's Texas Rangers series. Performed by Terrence Acel Ford, Danny Gavigan, Joe Brack, Eric Messner, Tim Getman, David Coyne, Scott McCormick, Andy Clements, Tim Carlin, James Konacek, Drew Kopas, Lily Beacon, M.B. Van Dorn, Ken Jackson, Dylan Lynch, Elizabeth Jernigan, Thomas Penny, Nanette Savard, Johan Detweiler, Michael Glenn, Karen Novak, Richard Rowan, Katie Foster, Michael John Casey, James Lewis, Casey Platt, Jeff Allen, Tony Nam, and Mort Shelby. Texas Rangers number 6, Jericho's Road.
After several years as a Texas Ranger, Andy Pickard concluded that the average criminal he dealt with was about as intelligent as a jackrabbit. That said, even a dullard could pull a trigger and hurt somebody. A case in point was the reluctant prisoner trudging along 10 paces ahead of Andy.
It ain't fair. You're a young man, barely growed, but you're riding my horse and making me walk.
You shot mine.
Well, I didn't mean to.
I know, you were shooting at me.
No. Well, how much further we got to go?
A ways yet. It'll give you time to consider changing your occupation.
Deuce Scoggins had earned a reputation as a second-rate horse thief who couldn't tell a mare from a gelding and knew no better than to peddle them in the first town he came to after he stole them. His trail had led Andy across several counties along the Colorado River, but a string of angry victims had made the path easy to follow. Confronted, Deuce had fired one shot in panic, killing Andy's horse. He then threw his hands up and begged for mercy. Andy had made him strip the saddle, bridle, and blanket from the dead animal and transfer them to his own.
Where'd you get this horse, Deuce?
I won him in a poker game? Honest.
Sure. Did you ever think about getting a job and making an honest living?
Work? I tried once, Ain't much I can do good enough that anybody will pay me for it.
Doesn't look like you're good enough at horse thieving to be paid much either.
Deuce's sweat-streaked shirt was much too large, loosely draped over thin shoulders, the grime-edged cuffs almost covering his dirty hands. He had probably lifted it from somebody's clothesline.
Even an Indian would treat a man better than this.
You don't know Indians, Deuce. Be glad you don't know them. They'd make it a mighty short acquaintance.
The afternoon was almost done when they rounded the bend in the wagon road and saw the crossroads town ahead. Its largest buildings were a courthouse, a new jail, and a church.
I heard their old jailhouse got burned down. It wasn't no nice place. I was in it once.
Too bad you didn't go in the church instead, Deuce.
Well, can't you take these handcuffs off before we hit town? It's embarrassing to let people see me this way.
A little embarrassment might be good for you. There was a time when they would have necked you to a tree limb. As it is, they'll likely just send you to the penitentiary.
Already been there. It ought to be against the law to put a man in a hellhole like that.
Sheriff Tom Blessing stood in the doorway of the red brick jail. Recognizing Andy, he grinned broadly and raised his big right hand in greeting. He looked more like a farmer than a lawman, for indeed he was a farmer first. Despite his years, he still had the muscled body of a blacksmith.
Bringing me a guest, Andy.
I hated for your new jailhouse to stand empty. The taxpayers have put a big investment in it. Reckon Deuce can have a stay?
Sure. Come on in here, Deuce. I got a nice cell with your name on it, all swept out and waiting for you.
Well, I'm hungry, and I'm thirsty, and this ranger has worn my feet down plumb to the bone.
Write a letter to the governor.
Tom led Deuce past barred iron doors and pointed him to a cell.
I'll bring you a bucket of water directly, Deuce. There's a slop jar under the cot. Make yourself at home.
He winked at Andy, walking into the jail. Deuce was wanted in several counties, but Andy had brought him here because this was the nearest jail, and the sun was almost down. He didn't care to risk camping with a prisoner on the trail. Here he could get a good night's sleep without worrying that Deuce might try to escape. Tom would keep the horse thief in custody until the several counties that wanted him sorted out their priorities.
Did he give you any trouble, Andy?
Not after he shot my horse. He went to blubbering. Thought I was fixing to kill him. I let him keep on thinking so till I got the cuffs on him.
Some rangers would have shot him for killing their horse. Whose is that you're riding?
No telling. Somebody's probably looking for him.
I'll check my notices. I got a message for you somewhere. Here it is. Your captain sent a wire to all the sheriffs around here, not knowing just where you turn up. Want you to report to him.
Andy felt uneasy, wondering what the captain might want. Maybe the state's finances had turned tight again, and the ranger force was being trimmed. It had happened often before. His several years of service were no guarantee that he would escape the next cut.
Reckon the telegraph office is still open?
I expect so. The operator's not anxious to go home of an evening. His wife's been burning the beans lately on account of him being a sorry poker player.
In the telegraph office, Andy had written a brief message on paper, reporting the capture of Deuce Scoggins. He read it over and penciled out every word it could spare. The state disliked paying for long messages, so ranger reports tended to be spare on detail.
Finished?
If there's a reply, I'll be staying the night at the jail.
I'll fetch it over as soon as it comes.
Andy watched the operator tap out the message, marveling at the progress he had seen in just the few years he had been a member of the Rangers. It seemed unreal that he could write a few lines here and know they'd be received miles away in an instant. The telegraph had done much to tighten up law enforcement across Texas. Word of a fugitive could race past him and alert officers to intercept him down the road. Andy couldn't imagine how it might ever get much better than that. Back at the jail, Andy found Tom standing in front of the wood stove.
I'm eating some leftover beans and cornbread for the prisoner, but I expect you'll want something better. I'll go with you down to the eating joint as soon as I get Deuce taken care of.
Tom had a farm a few miles out of town, but he often spent the night in the jail rather than make the ride twice, once out and then back in the morning.
If it wasn't already so late, I'd ride out and pay a visit to Rusty Shannon. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow.
I used to worry right smart about Rusty. He pined away for a long time after Josie Monahan died. He's fared some better since he made up his mind to marry her sister Alice. She's been like a tonic to him.
He deserves a run of good luck for a change. He had enough bad to do for a lifetime.
Rusty had been like a brother to the orphaned Andy, teaching, counseling, providing a benchmark when Andy seemed about to lose his way.
If it wasn't for Rusty, I don't know where I'd be now. In jail, like as not. Or dead.
You never were that bad of a kid. All you needed was guidance.
Andy had been taken by Comanche raiders when he was a small boy. They raised him until he fell back into Texan hands at about the time his voice started to change. His reintroduction to the white man's world had exposed him to many pitfalls. Even now, in his mid-20s, he sometimes found himself facing situations where the choice was difficult to make. He had always leaned heavily on Rusty's advice. When Rusty wasn't around, he tried to visualize what Rusty would do.
Too bad Deuce Scoggins didn't have somebody like Rusty to point the way for him when he was young.
Might not have made any difference. There's some people that nobody can help. They got no skill and no trade. They're too shiftless for honest work, and every time they come to a fork in the road, they turn the wrong direction. I've seen a lot like Deuce, drifting to God knows where. I've got to watch myself so I don't get to thinking the whole world is that way. You've been a ranger a good while now. You ever find yourself getting cynical?
Cynical? I still find there's more good folks than bad ones. If I try, I can even feel a little sorry for Deuce.
Oh, don't tell him so. It might encourage him to get worse.
The telegraph operator found Andy sitting with Tom at a table in the restaurant.
Got a reply to your message. Thought you'd want to see it right away.
Andy read the paper slowly. Rusty had been more successful in teaching him about farming and being a ranger than about reading and writing.
Any answer?
Just say, we'll comply.
The operator picked a biscuit up from the table and then went out the door.
New orders, Andy?
Captain says our company is being cut again. Says headquarters in Austin wants to reassign me to the Mexican border.
If you've ever thought about resigning, this might be the time. A man can get killed down there.
A man can get killed anywhere. Deuce might have shot me if he hadn't hit my horse instead.
But it's like a holy war along the Rio Grande. They've been that way since the Battle of the Alamo, and doesn't show any sign it's fixing to change. You're automatically somebody's enemy on sight. It just depends on how light or dark your face is.
Sounds like the Indian Wars.
The Indian Wars are over. This one's not. Do you speak any Mexican?
Just a few cuss words I picked up.
You'll have every chance to use them, and you'll probably pick up a bunch more.
Andy was ready to leave town the next morning. Because the horse he had taken from Deuce was undoubtedly stolen, he had left it in Tom's custody and bought one at the livery barn. Rangers were obliged to furnish their own horses, but the state was supposed to pay for one killed in the line of duty. Andy trusted that he would be reimbursed. If not, he'd still be able to eat, though it might be a while before he could afford a new hat or a pair of boots.
Sorry I couldn't provide you with a feather bed, Andy. That jail cot can be about as hard as a cement floor.
Yeah, at least the price was right.
I'll ride with you as far as Shanty's farm. Then I'll be cutting off and going home.
I'm glad for the company.
If they send you by San Antonio, be sure to go and visit the Alamo. It'll help you understand the trouble you run into when you get to the Rio Grande.
Andy saw two women pull a buggy up near the general store.
Well, that's Bethel Brackett and her mother.
I know. Give me a minute, Tom.
Take all the time you want. If it was me and I was 30 years younger, I'd take the whole morning.
Reaching the wagon, Andy dismounted.
Morning, Mrs. Brackett. Bethel?
He then extended his hand to help the older woman down.
We had no idea you were in town, Andy.
Passing through on duty. You're looking well, Mrs. Brackett.
He turned toward the younger woman who had been driving the horses. Bethel seemed reluctant at first to accept his help.
Andy Pickard, I ought not to speak to you.
What did I do?
It's what you don't do. You don't ever come to see a girl. You could be dead, and I wouldn't know about it for 6 months.
If I ever die, I'll write you a letter and let you know.
You could have let me know you were here.
Didn't get in till late yesterday. Can't stay. I've got orders to report to Austin.
Even my brother Farley breaks down and sends us a few lines every 6 months or so. I'd write to you if I knew where you'd be.
Half the time, I don't know that myself.
If you run into my brother somewhere, tell him Mother and I are all right.
She went inside the store, leaving Andy embarrassed and not knowing what to do about it. Tom had watched quietly. He drew in beside Andy.
That little girl thinks a lot of you.
Hard to tell it the way she acts.
A woman likes to have some attention paid to her, and you ain't done it. She'd follow you in a minute if you just asked her.
Follow me to what? A tent camp in the brush with a ranger company? She was raised better than that.
You won't be a ranger forever. Sooner or later, you'll get a belly full of cold camps and short rations. You'll start looking for a place to light.
I don't know as I could ever be a farmer like Rusty. Following a mule down a cornrow is too slow a life for me.
Lots of rangers go in for sheriffing when they get tired of the service. They can uphold the law and still sleep in a decent bed most nights. If you was to decide to give it a try, I'd hire you as my deputy.
Much obliged, Tom, but so far I'm satisfied with what I'm doing.
A former slave, Chanty York, had inherited a small farm when his owner died. At first he had trouble keeping it because some neighbors objected to a black man being a landowner. Several of them burned his cabin one night. Rusty and Tom and other friends rebuilt it, and none too gently elevated Chanty's antagonists to a higher level of tolerance. The old man looked frail. Nevertheless, he was working in his garden when Andy and Tom rode up. Chanty took off an unraveling old straw hat and wiped a tattered sleeve across a black face shining with sweat. His broad smile displayed a solid row of white teeth. So far as Andy knew, he still had all the ones God had given him.
Mr. Tom, Andy, you all get down and grab hold of this hoe for a while.
Chanty had known Andy since the day Rusty had brought him home, a hurt and frightened boy who spoke only Comanche. Chanty had helped care for Andy's broken leg and patiently coached him word by word into remembering his forgotten English.
Morning, Chanty! Andy, keep safe and remember what I told you.
Tom rode on toward his own farm.
You stay and eat with me, won't you, Andy?
I wish I could, but I've got orders. Just want to drop by and see Rusty before I go.
Oh, you don't need to worry none about Mr. Rusty. He's doing fine, him and Miss Alice. I don't know as they've told anybody yet, but she's in a family way.
Oh, the old rusty-haired son of a gun. I didn't know he still had it in him.
It's in Miss Alice now. She glows like the sunrise.
Anything I can send you from Mexico, Chanty?
Any necessaries I can get right here to home. Can't think of nothing I'd want from way off yonder.
Rio Grande is pretty far, all right.
Oh, too far for these weary old bones. And now you be careful you don't come back speaking Mexican. Took us long enough to get you over speaking Comanche.
Andy reached into his saddlebag and lifted out a small sack.
Brought you some rock candy to sweeten your disposition.
I thank you mighty kindly.
Would you like me to milk your cow for you before I go?
Oh, she dried up for a little while. She's in a family way, too. Now you be careful, boy. They tell me there's lots of wicked goings-on down along that river.
There's wicked goings-on everywhere.
Andy turned once in the saddle to wave at Chanty, then reined the black horse in the direction of Rusty Shannon's farm. The familiar terrain brought back memories, most of them pleasant. A few he didn't want to dwell upon. Not far from here, he had been part of an unlucky Comanche raiding party, come down from the high plains to steal horses. In a skirmish with rangers and settlers, his horse had fallen on him. Rusty had recognized that he was white and took him to his farm to heal. At first, Andy had given him reason to regret his generosity, trying to escape back to his Comanche friends. He had eventually realized that the Indians had reached the end of their time as free-roaming horsemen of the plains. He had gradually accepted his place in the white world. Though sometimes he still found himself thinking like a Comanche, feeling like a Comanche. He leaned heavily upon instincts that were sometimes so strong they puzzled him. Riding by Rusty's field, he saw that the corn was tall and green, promising a good yield. Alice stood in the cabin's open dog run, slicing a ham suspended from a rafter. She didn't see him right away. She was a slender woman with light brown hair almost to her waist. He had always considered her handsome, though her sister Josie might have been prettier. Josie's death had dealt Rusty a blow that for a time threatened to break his spirit. Eventually, he had worked his way up from the darkness and had come to accept Alice. Andy had been pleased, though he had one reservation. He feared Rusty might regard her as second best, a substitute, that Josie still held first place in his heart. Alice deserved better than that.
Andy! Oh!
She gave Andy a sisterly hug, then pushed him off at arm's length to look him over.
Don't the Rangers ever feed you? You look like you haven't eaten in a month.
I eat Indian style. When I can get it, I eat all I can hold. When I can't get it, I live off of what I ate before.
I'll slice some more ham and see how much you can eat for supper. I've managed to put some weight on Rusty. If you stay around a week or so, I'll fatten you up too.
Can't. I've been ordered to Austin.
Oh, a few days of company would be good for Rusty. He hasn't been away from the farm much since planting time.
I guess he figures he did enough traveling when he was a ranger. A man can get awful tired of it.
Well, don't you get tired of it, Andy?
Now and then, but as soon as I rest up a little, I'm ready to go again.
There'll come a day when you'll decide it's been enough, like Rusty did. You'll want to settle down. Are you going to go see Bethel Brackett before you leave?
Already saw her, in town. Where's Rusty?
He went looking for a heifer. He thinks she's had her calf and she's hiding it out.
Summer calves can be hard to raise.
A farmer is ready to take rain or a calf anytime.
She went into the kitchen side of the cabin.
I'll start supper when I see Rusty come to the barn. How about some coffee while you wait?
I can get it myself.
Rusty had done his bachelor cooking at the fireplace, but Andy noted that a new iron stove had been installed. A shop-made table and sturdy wooden chairs replaced the crude homemade kitchen furniture that he remembered. He watched Alice, trying to discern a sign of her pregnancy. All he saw was a brightness he hadn't found in her eyes before.
Shaddy tells me there'll be three of you by and by.
Oh, how could he know? We haven't told anybody.
Guess he saw it for himself. He said you glow like the sunrise. I believe he was right.
I've reason enough. I'm happy here. I couldn't ask for things to be any better.
Andy looked at the mantle. Always before, he'd seen a picture of Josie there. It was gone now. Alice turned to see where his gaze was directed.
Looking for Josie's picture. Rusty took it down. He said he didn't need a picture to remember or to keep pushing the past into his face. Said yesterday's gone. Today's all we've got.
You think he really sees it that way?
Sometimes when he holds me, I can't help feeling that he's thinking of Josie. I've tried real hard to be a good wife to him. Lord knows he deserves it. I wouldn't ask him to forget Josie ever. But maybe with time, I can be as much a part of him as she ever was. Even more.
Maybe you already are.
No, not yet. But I will be. I'm a Monahan, and you've never seen a Monahan give up.
Andy walked to the door and saw that Rusty had ridden up to the log barn.
I'm going to see if Rusty needs any help.
Tell him supper will be ready by the time he gets through with the milk in.
As he walked toward the barn, Andy remembered that it had been only a few months since he had ridden by here on his way to an assignment, and he and Rusty had exchanged small talk about crops and rain and local politics. Andy squinted, comparing Rusty's present appearance with the last time.
I see a little bit more gray in your hair.
Well, you've got the sun in your eyes.
Alice looks fine.
She does, doesn't she?
You'll be needing all the milk old Bossy can give. I understand you all are expecting.
Alice told you?
Shanty did. That old man sees things nobody else can.
He ought to. He's been around since the Colorado River was just a creek. What brings you over this way?
I've been reassigned to a company on the Rio Grande.
A man could get himself killed down there.
A little risk never stopped you.
It would now. I've got responsibilities.
I don't.
You've got a responsibility to yourself. If you stay too long, you're liable to get all shot up and have to quit anyway. Then you may be too crippled to do much of anything else.
I'm doing a job that needs to be done. When I stop feeling that way, I'll turn it back to them like you did.
As cities went, Andy always found Austin agreeable, provided he didn't stay too long. His first visit there had been with Rusty and Tom Blessing. He had spent his early years in Indian villages, and later in the sparse farming community where Rusty lived. The size of this city had amazed him. It was the state capital, Texas's seat of power. That fact had been driven home to him by a tempest that boiled up in 1873 upon the transfer of the governorship from the state's Reconstruction Administration back to the Texans who had supported the Confederacy. Many former Rangers cast adrift after the war had participated in the forcible removal of a reluctant Unionist governor. The place looked peaceable now after several years of stable and generally benevolent government. Andy had ridden up Congress Avenue toward the Capitol building. The street was wide enough that several spans of mules or oxen could turn a wagon around without crunching its wheels against the wooden sidewalks. After seeing the town several times, Andy was still in awe of the wagon and carriage and horseback traffic and the busy-looking pedestrians along the street. He paused in apprehension at the door of the Ranger's state office, wondering what was in store for him. Straightening his back, he stepped inside. A clerk sitting at a roll-top desk turned and viewed him over the rims of reading glasses set low on his nose.
Yes?
I'm Private Andy Pickard. I was ordered to report here for reassignment.
The clerk did not recognize the name. His face was pale, the mark of a man who spent his days in an office rather than out in a field.
Oh, yes, Pickard. Do you know Major Jones?
Met him. He's visited camps where I've been.
Major John Jones was well known for spending a minimum of time in the office. He was usually on the trail in his buggy, inspecting the far-flung ranger outposts that were his responsibility.
Luckily, you have chosen a day when the Major is in. Unfortunately, at this moment, he has company. You may sit if you choose to wait.
Andy seated himself in an uncomfortable, straight-backed wooden chair that he supposed was meant to discourage long visits.
It's not gonna work. It's a waste to have so many men. You know that.
And you know being so stingy is liable to get more of them killed.
Andy glanced at the clerk, asking a silent question. The clerk rolled his eyes.
The Major is having a discussion with a representative of the treasurer's office. The gentleman is explaining why the Rangers must do more, but do it with less money and fewer men.
A man as pale-faced as the clerk strode out of Jones's office.
If it were up to me, we would disband the Rangers. That would stop this needless drain on the state's resources.
And I hope the next person to face a hold-up man is yourself, sir. I'd like to see how long it would take you to call for the Rangers.
Major Jones's fists were clenched when he turned to the clerk.
There goes a man who can make me forget the biblical injunctions against profanity.
As his anger subsided, he became aware of Andy standing at attention.
I remember your face, but your name's a puzzle to me.
Private Andy Pickard, sir? I was ordered to report to you for a reassignment.
Oh, yes.
The clerk handed Jones a couple of sheets of paper. Jones glanced at them.
Come in.
The Major was a small man, but he had a firm handshake and a strong, steady gaze that seemed to see into the hidden part of a man's mind.
Have a seat, Pickard. As you may know, the legislature has seen fit to cut our budget again. Some from the settled parts of the state say we don't need Rangers now that the Army has the Comanches and other hostiles safely tucked away on their reservations. I've argued to little avail that outlaws present as much of a challenge now as the Indians ever did. Would you not agree?
Yes, sir.
I'm keeping as many Rangers as I can, given the funds the state has allotted to me. Your record tells me you are one whose services I should retain. I'm transferring you to a region that needs all the law enforcement it can get. You familiar with the Nueces Strip?
I've heard of it, never been there.
It's the region between the Nueces River and the Rio Grande. Mexico still claims it, in spite of the treaty Sam Houston won from Santa Ana. The scarcity of law has made it a gathering ground for robbers and cutthroats from both countries.
I heard Captain McNally whipped them a few years ago.
Leander McNally and his men put down much of the worst trouble, but fighting still goes on. Mostly it's between the races. White against Mexican, Mexican against white. How do you get along with Mexicans?
All right, I guess. Never knew very many. They haven't settled much where I come from.
Mexicans dominate the Nueces Strip, at least in numbers. Some still consider themselves to be living in Mexico and not subject to American law. At the same time, many Americans in that section don't recognize that Mexicans have legitimate rights, especially ownership of property. They drive them from their lands, or try to. They'd like to see every Mexican banished to Mexico or killed. It's not for us to choose sides. It's our responsibility to put down violence from whatever quarter it may arise.
Sounds like that would take a lot of rangers.
Far more than we have. It sometimes drives us to actions we wouldn't normally consider. Captain McNally used extreme measures, but the situation called for them. He was up against desperate men.
What do you mean, extreme measures?
At the worst, summary executions. We would prefer to observe all the niceties of the law, but outlaws respect only force. McNally knew how to get their attention. He stacked the bodies of a dozen dead bandits in the town square in Brownsville. Afterward, he conducted a raid across the river into Mexico and shot every suspect he came across. No doubt he killed some who didn't deserve it. They were simply in the wrong place at the wrong time. This caused us no end of diplomatic trouble. It's easy to criticize him now from the comfort of an Austin office, but you have to give him credit. He put a damper on border jumping for a while.
It's been preached to me over and over that everybody has a right to be tried by a jury.
No bandit summons a jury before he shoots someone. Mind you, I do not advocate summary justice. However, under extreme circumstances, we may have little choice. Now, after what I've told you, you think you can handle this assignment?
I'll do my duty as I see it, sir.
Your commanding officer may sometimes see it differently than you do. If so, will you obey him?
If I can't, I'll give him my resignation.
Well enough. But surely, you would not desert him in a crisis.
I won't quit in a fight, but I might resign afterward.
Jones dipped a pen in an inkwell and began to write an order.
How soon can you start?
Right now. I'm traveling light.
It's a long way to ride alone. I have assigned another ranger of your acquaintance to the same place. Find him and you can travel together. His name is Farley Brackett.
Hearing that name was like biting into a sour apple. Andy and Farley had ridden together on several missions, but their relationship had always been prickly.
From all I know of him, Brackett's a good man to have at your side in a fight.
Andy knew that to be true, but was tempted to tell Jones that Farley started some of those fights himself. The war had left a visible scar on his face and invisible scars on his soul. In the first years after the Confederate defeat, he had been an unreconstructed rebel, a constant thorn in the side of Union authorities. He had brought trouble to Rusty Shannon's door, and therefore to Andy as well. The Major handed Andy the order he had been writing.
Stop at Ranger headquarters in San Antonio as you pass through. They can tell you exactly how to find your camp on the Rio Grande. It moves from time to time.
Yes, sir.
Andy sensed that the Major was finished with him. He thought he should salute or something, but he simply backed to the door. The clerk was waiting for him.
I hope you've got a little money.
A little? Not much.
Well, it'll have to stretch. Now, we have no traveling money to give you.
I don't eat much.
Well, that's good. You may have to live off the land.
Any idea where I'll find Farley Brackett?
He put his horse in a stable down the street. Beyond that, I suggest you investigate all the dram shops.
Brackett did not have a reputation as a drinking man, but perhaps that was because he seldom had the opportunity. Whiling away the hours in Austin might tempt him to make up for time lost in dry and Spartan ranger camps. Andy went to a livery barn where he and Rusty and Tom Blessing had stabled their horses on a visit several years ago. He recognized the proprietor as the same dried-up little man who had been there before, charging a shameless price for oats, hay, and corral space.
I'm looking for a ranger named Farley Brackett.
The hostler pointed to a stall.
Well, his horse is here. I doubt Brackett's gone far afoot. Most of the rangers I know would rather be whipped with a wet rope than walk 100 yards.
If he comes in, tell him Andy Pickard is looking for him.
Andy Pickard? You've gotten some older, but I believe I remember you. Ain't you the one that spiked them Union soldier boys' cannons so they couldn't use it to keep that Yankee-fied governor in office?
I didn't spike the cannon, but I was with the ones that did.
Well, it was a hell of a show for a little while. Too bad it fizzled out before anybody got a chance to kill one of them damn Yankees.
Like many Texans, the hostler was still engaged in the war between the states, at least with words. Living among the Comanches at the time, Andy had been only dimly aware of the war. He knew a lot about its aftermath, however. To some degree, it was still going on, just as the war between Texas and Mexico continued along the border years after it had been relegated to the past elsewhere. He walked back over to Congress Avenue and toward the first saloon he saw.
I don't give a damn whether you like Rangers or not.
Suddenly a man flew through the open door. Farley Brackett stood in the doorway.
Come back in and I'll finish winding your clock for you.
The man sat up, but for the moment looked too confused to continue the contest. Farley's eyes recognized Andy.
Badger Boy? What the hell you doing here?
Badger Boy was an English version of the name by which Andy had been known among the Comanches. No one used it anymore, except Farley.
Looking for you? I ought to have known to wait and listen for a fight.
Wasn't no fight to it. I was just standing there having me a peaceful drink when that gink asked me if I wasn't a ranger. Don't know how he figured out I was. They never have gotten around to giving us any badges.
Some people claim they can tell a ranger on sight just by the way he walks and talks.
I wasn't talking at all till that bird started to hurrah me. Said he'd never seen a ranger that didn't smell like a skunk.
If you try to whip everybody that doesn't like us, you'll be too busy to do anything else.
You're a little young to be preaching gospel to me, Badger Boy. I've been shot and shot at more times than you've had birthdays.
A little preaching might do you good, but I know you wouldn't listen to it.
That I wouldn't.
Farley turned and went back into the saloon. Andy remained on the sidewalk, debating with himself about following. He considered riding on alone, letting Farley follow in his own good time, or not at all. He knew from past experience that Farley could be poor company, chronically dissatisfied and critical. But the Major might not be pleased. He liked his Rangers to work together as a team, not pull against one another like stubborn mules. He walked into the room and found Farley leaning against the bar, a drink in his hand. The war scar on the side of his face accentuated his frown.
You still here? Figured you'd left.
The Major says we're supposed to head south and report for duty on the border.
I don't remember him saying I had to ride with you. Every time we work together, something bad happens to me. You're a damn jinx.
I'm not crazy about the notion either. But if you don't like it, you can resign.
Yeah, that'd make you happy, wouldn't it? Well, I'm not quitting. Go find you a girl or something and leave me in peace for what's left of the day. Let's start the trip fresh in the morning.
I've got my horse in the same stable as yours. I figure to leave soon after daylight.
Walking outside, he met the stranger Farley had thrown out. The man seemed to have gathered his wits, and his expression indicated that he didn't consider the argument settled. Andy pointed his thumb at the door.
He's still in there.
I'm fixing to do something about that.
With clenched fists, the man walked into the saloon.
You again?
Farley then tumbled out the door. Andy looked down at him and tried not to grin.
Enjoy yourself.
Farley rolled over and pushed to his feet. Face crimson, he stalked back into the bar room. Andy turned away, remembering he hadn't eaten anything since breakfast. Awake at daylight, Andy sat on the edge of the wagon yard cot and looked at Farley, still sleeping, his blanket spread on a pile of hay. He did not respond. Andy had heard him come in during the night, but had no idea what time it was.
I'm fixing to go get some breakfast, then I'm hitting the trail with or without you.
Andy stood up and walked toward the front office. The hostler had a fire going and a small iron stove and a steaming pot on its top.
Got coffee here.
Thanks, but I'm going for breakfast.
Yeah, you might want to take some coffee to your partner. By the looks of him, as he staggered by here in the wee hours, he's liable to need it.
His legs ain't broke. Let him come and get his own coffee.
I thought you was Rangers together.
Rangers, yeah, but not together any more than we have to be.
After breakfast, Andy had brushed the black horse, then saddled him. Farley was sitting up, but still on his blankets. He appeared to have trouble focusing on Andy.
Where you going so early?
South, like we were ordered. You can catch up to me or not, that's up to you.
Farley rubbed a hand over his bruised and swollen face. His knuckles were red, the skin broken.
I must have had fun last night. just can't remember much about it.
Last time I saw you, it looked like you were coming out second best against a man who didn't like the Rangers.
Taking me a while, but I finally convinced him. It's what happened afterwards I can't remember much about. Last I knew, him and me had a couple drinks together. Us and some policemen.
A couple?
Maybe three. I never let myself get drunk.
Andy started to lead the horse outside.
Are you gonna wait for me?
No.
Andy mounted in the street and turned south to intersect San Antonio Road. Andy was a couple of hours down the trail. Though he liked Austin, he never felt at ease in large cities. This one was home to maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people.
Badger boy, wait up! Damn it, you'd make a man kill his horse trying to catch up with you.
I told you I was leaving soon after daylight.
You could have waited. I was sick this morning.
You looked like a herd of cattle ran over you. For all I care, you could have stayed in Austin.
I was just having a little fun. Looks to me like I've earned it. Don't get much chance when we're out in the field.
It's a good thing the Major didn't see you.
He knows that a man has to let off some steam now and again. Else he'll blow up like a boiler with the valve stuck.
Andy remembered how Farley had let off steam in the early years after the war, provoking the carpetbag state police into one fight after another. They had learned to pursue him only at a safe distance. Now he directed his belligerence at lawbreakers for the most part. That made him useful to the Rangers, though he tended to act first and plan later. Traveling at a pace that would not be hard on the horses, Andy and Farley took 2 days traveling from Austin to San Antonio.
Last chance for a little relaxation. Ain't gonna be much fun from here south.
If you'd had much more fun in Austin, you'd still be there.
It'll be all business when we get to the border. Go on ahead if you want to. Whatever trouble they got down there can wait another night or two.
We can tell them we needed to rest the horses. We'll need to find Ranger headquarters.
Tomorrow is soon enough. If they know we're here, they'll want us to start south right away whether our horses are tired or not.
Andy had never been to San Antonio, though he had heard many stories about its turbulent past. The town had been a crossroads of early Texas history. Several pitched battles had been fought there, first for Mexico's freedom from Spain, and later for Texas's freedom from Mexico. Though other cities in the state were rapidly gaining in importance, San Antonio remained the jewel in its crown. If a sprawl of picket jacales and single-story buildings of stone and adobe could be considered a jewel. As soon as they had found a convenient wagon yard and put their horses away, Farley disappeared. He'd been to San Antonio in his hell-raising days after the war and knew where he wanted to go, and it wasn't the Ranger's office. Andy looked at a map that appeared to be the same as the one on Major Jones's Austin wall, except that more trails had been added, some ranches and small towns penciled in. The lieutenant traced one of the trails with his finger.
With some exceptions, you'll find most white ranchers friendly to the Rangers. With some exceptions, you'll find most Mexicans distrustful and unfriendly. Both sides have cause. Have you got anything against Mexicans?
Major Jones asked me the same question. No, I don't.
Many people do, Rangers included. It's not one-sided, though. Many Mexicans have a hard grudge against whites, too, especially Rangers. They say we use our authority and our guns to help the gringo ranchers run them out of the country.
Do we?
We're not supposed to, but some take it to be their duty. Old wars don't die easy. They linger on like an incurable disease.
I try to treat everybody just alike.
That's a fine ideal. I hope you can live up to it when you've been on the river for a while. A man can lose his religion there if he doesn't get killed first.
When I get down there, what'll my duties be?
It'll be whatever Lieutenant Buckaloo tells you to do. If he says ride, you'll ride. If he says shoot, you'll shoot. Don't waste his time or yours asking questions.
Yes, sir.
When the lieutenant isn't around, you'll take orders from Sergeant Donahue. You may find that the lieutenant and the sergeant don't always see eye to eye.
In that case, which one do I listen to?
The one who's there at the time. How long since you've been paid?
I was out on assignment the last payday, and I had to buy a horse. About all I've got in my pocket is a whittling knife.
I'll advance you a little traveling money against your wages. We can't have a ranger begging his way down the road. Keep account of your expenses. Maybe the state will see fit to reimburse you. Or maybe not.
Where can I get a decent meal cheap?
There's a fair to Midland chili joint down the street a couple blocks and around the corner. It's not the Menger Hotel, but it's filling. and the cook washes his hands once a day, whether they need it or not.
Sounds like the place for me.
I almost forgot. There's another ranger who'll be headed the same way as you and Brackett. He came up to deliver a prisoner. Maybe you know him. Name's Len Tanner.
Yeah, I've known him for some time, but lost track after he was transferred away from my camp. Where do you reckon I'll find him?
Simple. Go where you hear the loudest talking.
Len had a reputation for a loose jaw. He could talk the bark off a live oak tree. Andy had first gotten to know him when an accidental horse fall and broken leg took him out of the Comanche hands and thrust him back into the life of a white boy. A jovial spirit who came and went as the mood struck him, Len had spun enticing tales of high adventure and eventually had talked Andy into joining the Rangers. The cafe's proprietor had laughing eyes that offset the fierceness of his black beard.
Cowboy?
Nope. Ranger.
Ain't nothing too good for a ranger. I give you a choice. Beefsteak or chili? Same price.
That being the case, I'll take the beefsteak.
Some of the biggest ranchers in South Texas come in here to eat. It's the only time a lot of them ever eat any of their own beef.
It doesn't sound like rifle ownership means much around here.
Not unless a man is ready and willing to fight for what belongs to him. There's people here who can steal your socks without taking your boots off.
The cook poured a cup of coffee for Andy without being asked. He then placed a cast iron skillet atop the stove.
Secret to a good steak, you know, is to fry it deep in plenty of hot grease. Hey, I ain't seen you before. Where are you stationed?
Yeah, I'm on my way to the border now.
Trail down to the Rio Grande can be risky, especially the lower part. The more rangers, the better. You never know who's liable to pop up out of the brush looking for somebody to shoot.
Yeah, I'll have another ranger with me. Maybe two if I can find Len Tanner.
Oh, yeah. I believe that old boy was in here yesterday. Talk till my ears hurt.
That's him.
If I was you, I wouldn't noise it around too much about being a ranger. I rode a while with McNelly's outfit. Down in that border country, the Mexicans call us ranches. And they did not say it sweet. I decided to move up here for my health.
What kind of a man was McNelly?
As good a feller as I ever knew. He had a hard job to do, and he'd done it despite being sick most of the time. Some days he was almost too weak to stay in the saddle, but he would not let go. He meant to clean up the border if he had to kill half the damn population. He did kill a lot of them. Some claim he went too far. All I can say is that the bandit raids tapered off right smartly by the time that he got through.
From what I hear, they're back. Maybe not as strong as before McNelly, but bad enough.
Hey, want a little advice? No extra charge?
Sure.
Don't trust every smiling face you see. You never know for sure who your friends are and who wants to see you dead. When in doubt, shoot first.
What if I kill somebody innocent?
There are damn few innocent people down there. They might start out that way, but they get over it.
Andy's back was to the door, but he sensed that someone had entered the room behind him.
Badger boy, eat quick and let's get moving.
I thought you had some celebrating to do.
Done it. I'm ready to go.
What's the big hurry? It's already late in the day. We can't get far before dark.
We can get far enough. I'll go fetch our horses while you finish your supper.
Don't eat too fast. That ain't good for your digestion.
I just hope he didn't kill somebody.
Before Andy had finished eating his steak and red beans, Farley had led Andy's black horse to the cafe.
You damn sure took your time.
I don't see why we have to rush away from here like a couple of thieves.
Farley set his horse into a long trot. He didn't bother to look back to see if Andy was following. Andy caught up to him as they passed through the southern outskirts of town.
Who did you shoot?
I never shot nobody.
The way you left, I thought maybe you did.
It wasn't nothing like that. I ran into an old friend of yours, and I was afraid he'd want to ride with us. I can't listen to Len Tanner all the way to the border. I might shoot him just to shut him up.
All this rush was to just get away from Len? Where'd you find him?
I was visiting a couple ladies I know. He was there doing the same thing. You're too young to understand.
I'm old enough. Seems to me like you ought to find yourself a good woman and leave those other ladies alone.
Yeah, what woman would look twice at this scarred face unless she was paid to do it?
There's bound to be some. You've been searching in the wrong places.
And you're sticking your nose in where you got no business.
I've got half a mind to go back and find Len.
If you do, then you've only got half a mind. Who wants to listen to all that chatter from here to the border? If you go back, you go by yourself.
That might be an improvement.
You damned hard to get along with, Badger boy. Must be you ain't got all the Indian out of you.
Andy had kindled a small fire.
What's that for?
Want to boil a little coffee after that ride.
Never could see why some people gotta have coffee all the time. It's too much trouble. With whiskey, all you gotta do is pull the cork.
Farley smoothed the rocks from a small patch of ground for his blankets.
I don't suppose you seen my mother and sister before you left.
I did.
How were they?
Fine. They're the likable members of the Brackett family.
You serious about Bethel?
I might be if I wasn't a ranger.
That's easy fixed. You could quit.
If you don't like me riding with you as a ranger, you sure wouldn't like having me for a brother-in-law.
I'd seldom ever see you.
I guess that's right. You hardly ever visit your women folks.
Better that way. All I ever brought them was trouble.
Andy looked into the dusk and saw a lanky rider approaching.
Hello, the camp! You there, Andy?
Oh, hell.
Andy stood up and waved his arm.
Come on in, Len.
Len Tanner swung a spindly leg over his horse's rump and stepped to the ground.
I'd about give up on catching you fellers. I thought you'd wait for me in town.
Farley was in a hurry to leave. It's a right long trip to the river.
I know. I had to deliver a prisoner all the way up to San Antonio. He was wanted for using his knife a little too free. That's a common failing in this part of the country. Got some of that coffee left? I ain't had no supper.
I suppose after a few days in town, you was too broke to feed yourself.
I'll ride with you fellers if you'll have me. It always shortens the miles when I've got somebody to talk to.
Oh, for God's sake.
Farley moved to where he had spread his blankets.
I'm hitting the Sugans. If I'm gone in the morning, it'll be because I made an early start.
Eager, ain't he? He wouldn't rush if he knew the border. It was easier fighting Indians. At least when you saw one, you knew he was your enemy. Down yonder, you're never sure.
How come you to transfer from the San Saba? That was a nice place to be stationed.
The captain volunteered me. I guess they needed a man with experience. I don't keep count on such.
After daybreak the next morning, Len had begun to talk about his experiences since he'd been sent down to the border. Farley quickly lost patience. He stopped, dismounted, lifting his mount's left forefoot and examining the shoe.
Think there's a stone lodged in here. Y'all go on, I'll catch up to you by and by.
Andy suspected Farley was trying to get out of earshot. He would probably drag along behind. Andy had rather listen to Len's stories than to Farley's grumbling anyway. He noticed a bright shiny star on Len's shirt. Sometimes rangers made their own badges.
Where'd you get that?
A Mexican cut it out for me out of a silver peso. Looks pretty good, don't it?
Looks like a target.
Ain't nobody hit it yet. Been a couple tried.
White or Mexican?
One of each. Most Mexicans don't like rangers. And a lot of whites don't like rangers getting in their way when they're trying to take what belongs to the Mexicans. They get shot at from both sides.
By noon, Farley had not caught up. And he could see him poking along a couple of hundred yards behind.
Reckon we ought to stop and wait for him?
He likes his own company. Let him make the most of it.
I figure he must have been born in the dark. Me? I was born in the daylight.
Andy enjoyed studying the changing landscape. It was gently rolling, mostly open except for watercourses lined with trees and many varieties of brush. Wide areas were flat enough for farming, though little had as yet been broken by the plow. Cattle of many hues grazed the tall, summer-curing grass. Some hoisted their tails and ran for the thickets. Others watched placidly as the riders passed. This was a much-used public roadway. They were accustomed to wagon, cart, and horseback traffic.
Sure looks peaceful.
Wait till we get down into the brush country. Plant, animal, or human, everything there is looking for a chance to draw blood. They've all got stickers, horns, knives, or shooting irons.
2 days later, and well on their way, Andy began seeing dust rising in the south. It troubled him for a time because it was too localized to be a dust storm.
It'll be a trail herd on its way north. Lots of them swing by San Antonio to supply their wagons.
The point man, riding at the front of the strung-out herd, was white. He gave the three rangers a silent and distrustful study, then moved on past them.
It's a steer herd bound for the Kansas Railroad, I'd guess. Cow herds are generally headed farther north, like to Wyoming and Montana.
I wonder how it'd be to go up there ourselves.
The sight of a snowflake makes me shiver. Feller told me one time he was up in Wyoming and seen a hat moving along on top of the snow. When he went to look, he found a cowboy under the hat, and the cowboy was on horseback. Is the gospel true? At least, that's what that feller told me.
Notice how many different brands they got on them cattle.
A lot of those are Mexican brands.
You think they're stolen?
Let's say they was got awful cheap. They swum the Rio Grande in the dark of the moon. Come daylight, they was citizens of Texas.
Maybe we ought to arrest this whole outfit.
Didn't the Comanches ever teach you how to count, Badger Boy? There's a dozen of 15 of them and just three of us. Doubt you find a church-going man amongst them.
There's a chance these people bought the cattle in good faith from somebody else who brought them across the river. Anyway, the Mexicans they belong to may have made up the loss already, swimming Texas cattle back in the other direction.
Sounds like everybody breaks even.
Not everybody. There's losers, and they're generally the little fellers. Besides, it's bigger than just cattle. People get killed.
A swing rider approached. He had a sober bearing that indicated he might be the boss.
I hope you all ain't rangers.
Why? What difference would it make?
The rangers gave me trouble over the Mexicos in this herd. I had to pull strings in high places.
Yeah, we're rangers, but we ain't been given any orders yet. No hide off our butt if you take these cattle to Timbuktu.
Kansas is far enough. By the time we get there, they'll all be talking American.
The rangers pulled away from the herd to get out of the dust. It struck Andy as curious that more than half the horsemen appeared to be Mexican.
If these cattle were stolen from south of the river, the Mexicans with this outfit are robbing their own countrymen.
Some don't feel like they owe Mexico nothing, or Texas either. Santa Ana stabbed them in the back. After preaching that his soldiers ought to be proud to die for Mexico, he gave away Texas to save his own hide. They don't see that anything is wrong if they can get away with it. That includes shooting a Texas Ranger or a Mexican Rurale. It's open season on anybody who gets in their way.
Some of these drovers are gringos.
Thieves don't pay much attention to each other's color as long as they're filling their pockets. Afterwards, they may try to cut each other's throats.
Lynn dismounted in front of an abandoned adobe house. He rubbed his mount's right foreleg.
Feels to me like my horse is coming up lame.
Andy looked to the west where the sun cast a rosy glow through low-hanging clouds.
He may just be getting tired. It's time we stopped for the day and gave the horses a rest.
We got an hour of daylight left.
You want Lynn to have to walk and lead his horse?
Wouldn't hurt him none. Might make him tired enough to quit talking.
You go right on ahead if you want to. I ain't going to ruin a good horse.
I'm staying with Lynn.
You two need looking after. Anyway, they ain't going to pay us extra for reporting in early.
Andy had built a small fire in a rock-lined hole that travelers had used before him. He had let the fire burn down to red coals, then set a coffee pot on top of them. Farley came back from gathering dry wood.
Rider's coming.
He went to his saddle line on the ground and pulled his rifle from its scabbard. Andy followed his lead by drawing his pistol. He counted seven horsemen, one a smooth-faced boy of 14 or 15, The others were older and had not felt a razor in at least a couple of days, nor water either, except a drink.
At least they're Americans.
Len put his badge in his pocket. He then rested his right hand on the butt of his pistol.
That don't guarantee nothing. They may not like the law, so we better not tell them we're rangers. They got us outnumbered.
The riders stopped a respectful distance from the rangers' camp. One rode forward with his right hand raised in a sign of peace. He slouched in the saddle. His whiskers were coal black, a sharp contrast to the washed-out gray of his eyes.
Howdy. Looks like y'all made yourselves at home.
You got any quarrel with that?
None at all. We're just travelers like yourselves, looking to water our horses before we ride on a ways more.
Water's free for everybody.
We come upon a bunch of Mexicans back yonder. They eyed us like coyotes that found a mess of quail. I got a hunch they've been trailing, waiting to hit us in the night when we're asleep. It'd ease our minds if we could camp with y'all.
Andy saw doubt in Len's and Farley's eyes.
The more there is of us, the safer we'll all be.
Maybe. What say you all camp over on the other side of the house?
The man waved his arm, and the other six rode in closer.
My name's Bert Hatton. Me and the boys here, we just delivered a herd to San Antonio. There's people that'd gladly shoot us for the money them cattle brought. Failing that, they'd at least try to take our horses.
Andy didn't like the looks of the men. They reminded him of a wolf pack circling a small buffalo herd and looking to bring down a calf. As the men moved away, Len looked at Andy.
Seems to me like I've seen that hombre before. With all the whiskers, it's hard to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you smelled a skunk.
It's just a feeling I've got.
Me too.